I'm Heidi Holton. Thanks for choosing this KAXE KBXE conversation. We are member-supported radio, a National Public Radio affiliate in northern Minnesota. We need your support for our radio broadcasts, our online content, and our podcast. Go to KAXE.org, and thanks for listening. This is the Friday Morning Show, KEXE, KBXE. That's John Bauer. I'm Heidi Holton. We're continuing our conversation this morning on National Adoption Month, bringing awareness to families of adoption and the need for more adoptive families. Joining us now is Jerry Hayes. He's a teacher at Apple Valley High School and the head hockey coach there. He's adopted, and he and his wife, Michelle, have 7 kids that they have adopted. And we're going to hold our hockey questions until the end. But Jerry, thank you for talking with us today.
Well, it's my pleasure, and thank you for talking about the subject, obviously very near and dear to our heart.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're going to want to thank us after I hit you with this hard-hitting question, Jerry, but can you name your kids?
In order, alphabetically, or
I think you should try.
Our oldest is Julia. She's a sophomore in college, and then we have Milena, who's a sophomore in high school. Joey, who's a 7th grader, Nate, who's a 6th grader, twin girls, Chloe and Charlotte, who are 1st graders, and we just adopted Elijah this summer, who is will be a 3-year-old in January.
Wow.
So what's it like for the adoption process for Elijah, when you adopted Elijah, and then the rest of the kids at part of that process? It's got to be pretty amazing.
Well, all the processes were different because we've done actually 3 different types of adoptions. Our oldest two we adopted out of an adoption agency. It's called the Gladney Center. It's actually the oldest adoption agency in the country out of Fort Worth, Texas. And so they were adopted out of an adoption agency. Nate was adopted through something called a facilitator. And a facilitator, basically what they do is they put magazines in places like Planned Parenthood and other services, health services, and then potential birth mothers basically look through a magazine or look online, and then they pick us, and then we hire attorneys and kind of go through the legal process that way, where the adoption agency, everything is kind of in-house or taken there. And then our other 4 children, Joey, Chloe, and Charlotte, and Elijah, were all adopted out of foster care, out of Ramsey County Foster Care. So we have 3 different, each unique experiences.
So just you said that magazine, and just because they picked you, does that necessarily mean it's going to happen? Do you have like an interview process?
Yeah, well, they look at your 8x10 glossies and all the other pictures, and luckily most of them, I think, were of Michelle. And then they kind of, set up, depending where they live, most of the time it's a phone interview. And then, that kind of goes from there. And if they think it's a fit, and if we think it's a fit, then we go. Some of them are, we had a couple calls from mothers who clearly were looking for more financial assistance, kind of through the process, and we were not really capable of doing that. And so it has to be a fit on both sides. Actually, when we adopted through the Gladney Center, they have a similar process. It's a little more formal. We actually had to fly down to Fort Worth, Texas for lunch to meet a birth mother, and then hope the lunch went well, and then fly back not knowing if we were picked. And then we received a phone call, 24 hours later that we were indeed picked. But that was a pretty nervous lunch and pretty long way to go for a lunch date. But, obviously in hindsight, it was all worth it.
I'm assuming that having experience being an adoptive parent makes it maybe a little bit easier to have people make that decision to have you take a child?
Yeah, I guess, my own experience is I was adopted out of foster care, and so I was kind of familiar with that process and with my family. I have a couple different adopted brothers, so I had a little more background knowledge of kind of the way it worked, especially through the foster care system. But, yeah, certainly being exposed to it, the more experience you get, the more less peaks and valleys. It's less of a roller coaster if you understand the process, going from the 1st one to the 7th one.
Tell us your story.
It's my own personal story, as far as when I was adopted.
Yeah.
Well, I was. It was a beautiful sunny day in May of May 10th, 1967. My birth mother was from the range. I come to find this out later, but I was in 1967 in the range up by Gilbert, Minnesota, and that area. If you were a 16-year-old pregnant girl, that probably was not a great place to be. And so she went to live with an aunt in Green Bay, Wisconsin during my pregnancy, and then I was born in May. And it was apparent, everyone knew that the birth mother is from Minnesota, so I was actually placed in the foster care system out of Duluth because of the, everyone knew, it was a Minnesota resident having the child, and so even though I was born in Green Bay, so I was placed in foster care at 16 days of age with my eventual adoptive parents. I was first diagnosed to be, at the time they termed it, mentally retarded. And my mother, who was a nurse, kind of signed on to take care of special needs kids. And so I was placed there. Some people would say the diagnosis was 100% accurate. hopefully I've grown out of it a little bit. And then I was, adopted into the Hayes family. And then I come to find, I met my, just kind of in a passing conversation when I was 21, my mom asked me, say, would you ever want to meet your birth mother? And I said, well, yeah, sure, I guess. And that was just kind of a conversation in passing because my social worker, I'd had a social worker throughout my life, just kind of checking in to make sure everything was okay. And they became friends with my mom, had mentioned, so, by the way, Jerry can have access now that he's 18 if he wants to meet. And so, yeah, sure. So, I called. They gave me a phone number of my maternal grandparents. I called and said, hey, this is Jerry. I'm your grandson. And you can imagine it was kind of there was kind of a warning that the call was coming. But then, within 48 hours, I was having lunch with my birth mother, who had her own history and her own story. But that was kind of a whirlwind for a junior in college, trying to keep college straight and playing college hockey and all of that. It was interesting. And the fact I think that made it nice was my adoptive parents were very supportive of the entire process, never felt threatened by it. And so that it worked out well just to have that sense of who they were. I never had that Oprah moment when I was growing up where I was like, boy, I wonder what my birth mothers, how they would treat me. I always felt pretty comfortable being a Hayes and never really had that yearning, there was some type of unmet need.
We're talking to Jerry Hayes today. It's National Adoption Month in November. We're hearing about his story and his kids. When did you and your wife, Michelle, know you wanted to adopt?
It was rather early on, to be honest with you. I mean, I think she was, it had nothing to do with how we met, but once, obviously we started dating and getting serious, and as we were getting closer to marriage, the topic of family came up, and she has always had a soft spot for just kids, and understood and kind of heard is that there's so many kids out there that just need a place, need someone to love them, and that why wouldn't we? And knowing my story, I think, comforted her because I'm certainly, I'm kind of paying back Valerie Drake, who from the range made a decision in 1967. That was not an easy decision to put me up for adoption. And so I guess I'm kind of repaying that debt and paying it forward to future kids, I keep this chain going, and I would love it if someday if my own kids said we're gonna pay that forward as well.
So Jerry, when you met with your real mom, what was that like, and did she explain to you the circumstances, or was that something that didn't even need to come up?
Yeah, when I met with my biological mother, she. It did create some tension in the household, in the rural, grandpa, was the guy that was saying, no, you're not having a kid. You're 16 years old. You got your whole life in front of you. And my sense was that it was just, kind of there was some friction there. But at the same time, abortion, I guess, was never even considered as an option for that family. But, she was 16. During my pregnancy of my term, she developed diabetes. And then as a result of that, kind of unchecked diabetes through most of her late teens, she had some pretty severe health issues that developed as a result, and she actually passed away by the age of 41. Just because of all that, she had a liver transplant, kidney transplant, and a pancreatic transplant. She was on a pretty, even when I met her when she was 37, she was on a pretty strict pill regimen, and she did have another child against doctor's wishes. So I do have a half brother, I haven't really had much contact with at all other than when we first met. And so she has explained 1967 in the range. It just wasn't, was socially, I guess, accepted.
Yeah. So, Jerry, I know we're catching you at school today. How's the hockey team looking for the year ahead?
Well, I coached at Apple Valley for 15 years.
Okay.
And then I took a step back, as the family was growing about 5 years ago, six, 7 years ago now. And then our neighborhood school, our kids go to is Irondale High School in New Brighton. And they had a head opening, and I guess this is more about my parenting skills when, here I took time off to be with the kids, and then when that job opened up, my wife said, maybe you should do that. So I kind of took that as a clue that maybe I'm a better parent when I'm at the hockey rink, and I'll let her do all the heavy lifting at home, and she certainly does.
So how's the Irondale team looking?
The Irondale team, we just started this week, and we got, kids that are working hard, a good group of kids. We don't got quite the powerhouse that Dave Oss has up there at Brainerd, but, we're getting by. We're a school that, socioeconomically, hockey is a challenge for a number of our families, and so we have kids that are really committed and that are going to work hard. But, like a lot of programs with our similars, we don't have the same depth that, a lot of the AA schools do, which, we compete at that level. But we've had a couple of nice years and hoping to kind of have a nice year this year as well.
Do you have some good sources for kids that maybe have a hard time paying for the high cost of being a hockey player?
To be honest with you, not really. I think... With as far as fees from the high school league, like in any school in the state, the free and reduced kids, kind of get that waiver, but just the cost of equipment is, pretty high. And so I think most associations are aware of that at the youth level and try to do their best, help with equipment pass downs and equipment turn ins. But I'd be lying if I'd say that we make it easily accessible throughout the state for every kid.
Yeah.
But when you look at the cost of some of these other sports now, and they certainly don't have the equipment, they're catching up pretty quick. My daughters have played youth soccer and youth softball, and, some of those costs, are getting up there as well. When you got to spend $200 for a bat, it's kind of, well, hey, all right, and the cleats and the everything, it's all catching. But it's nothing on those dance people, dance and gymnastics. I still don't understand paying that much for a costume. I'll never get that. But
so you're probably glad that your oldest daughter is she's a track star, isn't she?
Well, stars, she's had a nice career, school career. She was able to have a really nice career at Irondale and was in the state meet for a number of years. And as part of a relay, was a 4x4 state champion a couple of years ago, and has placed really high in hurdle events. And then injury bug kind of hit her junior and senior year. And so didn't really finish as strong as she wanted to. But, she's currently at the U. And she redshirted last year, and she's hoping to make the traveling team this year as a hurdler at the U. But as you can imagine, a Big Ten school, it's tough. And she's working hard and getting healthy, and so we're hoping that she has a fantastic year. But the school experience has been great for her as well.
So all you've
it
had
sounds
to,
like
all
a you, star.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It sounds like a star. It sounds like a modest dad. So all you had to do is buy her a pair of shoes once a year, huh?
Yeah, that was nice. Well, then, the problem was in the summer she wanted to be like a multi-athlete, and so she had, you know, like where they do decathlon, pentathlon, heptathlon. So then she needed shoes for high jump, and she needed shoes for long jump, and she needed shoes for. I was like, geez, come on, killing me.
Did you have to
play hockey? It's cheaper.
Did you have to buy her a javelin?
We did buy a javelin.
Caught you.
That's sitting in our basement right now. So if anyone needs a javelin,
all right,
Heidi will set you up and contact you and just let me know.
Yeah. Well, Jerry, that's Jerry Hayes. Thank you so much for telling us about yourself and your family, and say hi to everyone for us, especially your mother-in-law Sylvia. Say hi to her for me.
Yeah, I will. And I still remember the summer we went up to the A-frame up in Brainerd there.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
Still have memories of that a long time ago, it seems like.
Yeah.
All right, keep your stick on the ice.
I just got to watch for flying pucks, because with these guys, I have no idea where it's going. So I try to find a safe spot. I'm too old to be dodging and ducking and diving, so I kind of find a safe spot. Let my assistants kind of dodge pucks out in the center of the ice.
Thanks, Jerry.
Yep, thanks.
KEXE, KBXE, connecting you to families of Minnesota. It is the Friday morning show. If you want information on North Homes, that is an adoption and foster parent agency that serves our entire region, you can call us at 800-662-5799.